You might have noticed that Pat and I are pretty fussy about our finances and our investments.
Yeah, a lot of junk doesn't make it past our bullshit detectors. But one thing that we've both used for many years is ShareSite. It records all dividends, franking credits, transactions, and performance easily in one place.
You can generate reports for income and capital gains, which makes tax time super easy. And ShareSite is completely free if you have 10 holdings or less.
So we've partnered with ShareSite to help support the podcast and provide all our listeners who upgrade to a paid plan a saving of 33% off the annual plan price. If you start with a free plan using our link, you'll still get that discount if you upgrade to a paid plan in the first 60 days.
Just head to ShareSite.com/fire and chill to get started.
Welcome to the Fire and Chill podcast, a collaboration between Dave from Strong Money Australia and Pat from Lifelong Shuffle, where we're going to have regular conversations about fire, investing, and living your best life.
Hey guys, welcome to another show. This is the second episode of Fire and Chill with Pat and Dave. This is our first actual content-related show after the intro show that we recorded last week. And if you listen to that one, you can probably tell that we're pretty new at this. We're learning as we go, and I'm sure we'll settle into it as time goes on. How are you doing today, Pat?
Yeah, good, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate.
This week's episode should run a lot smoother and have more interesting content.
All right, so today we wanted to talk about probably the most important fire topic of all, and especially as an introduction, and that's the why of fire. Why are we doing this financial independence stuff? Why do we want to retire early? It's an important topic to cover because once you go down a path of fire like this, it's just like any new goal. It's important that you know why you're doing it.
Well, yeah, if you wander down a path with no end goal in sight, then it's easy to drop off or fail or not really do everything you need to reach that goal. Let's be honest here, Dave, where we could probably say that the principles behind achieving fire are quite simple. Putting them into practice often isn't very easy, especially for most people. And that means that, you know, if you don't really know why you're doing it, people will inevitably, you know, maybe not achieve that goal if that's something that they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a saying that if you figure out your why, then the how will take care of itself. And what that really means is if you really feel strongly about a certain goal or a certain ambition you have, having a strong reason is more important than it's more important than figuring out the nuts and bolts first. Because if you don't have a strong reason of why you're doing it, then when things get hard, when things don't go your way, you're way more likely to kind of fall off the wagon and not follow through on and not make your way towards that end goal. And it's the same as like people dieting and wanting to lose weight or get healthy or start anything new. If the reason that they're doing it is not strong enough, they're not going to have the drive that's going to see them through when things, you know, get tough. So you really need to have a clear idea in your mind of the reasons why you actually want to achieve financial independence, because that'll help fuel your motivation along the way. If your motivation isn't strong enough, the changes that are probably necessary for you to take in your life, they just might not happen.
Exactly. And this isn't a short journey for most people. We're talking years or decades. So you might be super excited and motivated now, but in a few years' time, that can drag out. And if you don't really know why, chances are you won't make it.
So everyone will have their own motivations and reasons for wanting to be financially independent or wanting to retire early. So we thought today that we'd run through what our reasons are, so you can get a bit of an idea, maybe can give you something to go on and something to compare your own ideas with. And maybe some of the reasons that we have are the same as yours. So we'll cover those today.
Yeah. Dave, why don't you just get straight into it? I think last time you touched on your first motivations of why you wanted to do this. But if we could expand upon that a bit more, tell everyone why you want to fire or why you have fired.
So you probably remember from last time I touched on looking around at work and not kind of seeing my future and not wanting to end up like the other guys at work. So I really decided that I wanted to have a different life than everyone else. I wanted a life more just a more self-directed life. And so financial independence for me was all about freedom. It wasn't so much about building massive wealth, although some level of wealth is needed, obviously. But to me, it was really more about the freedom than anything else. And just having my time back, just to spend just however I please, it's just so valuable. Because time, we don't know how much time we're going to have here, you know, on this earth, but it's something that we can never make more of. So it's more important than anything, definitely more important than money. So
yeah,
we can always make more money, but we can never make more time. So for me, that was a crucial reason.
Well, funny, some people use that as a reason for not doing something like FIRE. Some people say, say something like, well, you know, you never know how long you're going to live. So why are you going to spend all this time, you know, saving and investing? Why don't you enjoy yourself now? And what do you say to that?
So to that, I'd say you're right that, you know, we don't know how long we've got, so you want to enjoy today. And that's true. You do want to enjoy today, but I see it in a different lens. We don't know how long we've got here, right? So why would you want to spend all that time at work doing a job that the chances are you're not truly passionate about, and you probably wouldn't do it for free. And if you wouldn't do it for free, then there's obviously other reasons you're doing it, because you need money to cover your expenses and whatever.
Yep.
Which is fine, but it means that you're not doing it out of the true motivation and the actual enjoyment of doing that activity, you know? So the money is definitely pushing you to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird balancing act, isn't it? Because I agree with you. It is important to enjoy yourself now and not just, you know, sock away your money for the future. But inevitably, you kind of, well, at least I think you should look at the bigger picture and... Yes, you want to enjoy yourself now, but not to the detriment of achieving stuff you want to achieve in the future, so to speak. And not the other way around as well. You shouldn't focus everything on the future to the detriment of your right now. So, weird balancing act. That's a balancing act that everyone has to play for themselves and decide how they want to approach it.
And that's probably, and it's such a big topic in itself, you know, balancing the now versus balancing the future. So that's probably another episode, you know, for another day, because we could talk about that for ages, because that's long debated, and there's lots of ins and outs of that, you know, on where people sit on the spectrum of enjoying today versus thinking about the future.
Yeah, definitely.
So I noticed, you know, I touched on wanting to have more free time and just being able to control, you know, how I spend my time. So I noticed for me that if I don't have much free time, I tend to get pretty grumpy. I noticed that about myself. It kind of feels like, I'm not living my own life. Like I'm not in, you know, because you feel obligated to do this and this and this. And then you're like, oh, wow, there's no time left for me, you know, to do something that I want to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
I get grumpy as well. That's okay.
So this podcast is going to turn into two grumpy young men.
Well, two grumpy old men, maybe. We'll see.
Depends how long the podcast goes.
Yeah. Let's not be too optimistic.
So on top of that, being financially independent to me meant just living a more free and less stressful life, you know, being financially comfortable. And I thinking to myself that obviously having money is better than not having it. Also wanted the choice to do what work that I wanted to do, which is sounds kind of strange because I never knew what I wanted to do at school and then after school. I've never ever known. I never had a certain, say, industry or whatever that I was truly just drawn towards, which is kind of strange, but yeah. And I kind of still don't, in a way. You know, there's that thing like, what do you want to do when you grow up? I had no idea. And in some ways, I still don't know, but I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing now, so, which is just cruising along and blogging at the moment and doing this podcast now, which is fun. So,
look, I think you've reflected the feelings of about, you know, 95% of 17-year-olds out of high school and even going through university, the amount that people change their minds or change industries or drop out of university to go to work because they found that wasn't, you know, really right for them. I can speak from my own experience, but I've been doing this for a while and I still don't know if it's 100% what I want to do full time, but yeah, this is what I...
And isn't that kind of crazy? You're kind of, you're not pushed, but you're encouraged at like 15 years old, 16 years old at school to decide what you want to do for, you know, as a career.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's like a big intimidating question that how are you supposed to possibly know the answer to? Yeah. I mean, some people do. Some people are immediately drawn to being a doctor or whatever the case may be. But I think for a lot of us, we really don't know, and we're kind of learning as we go, and we're not sure.
You can't know. You can't know at that age. And there's a certain extent of being drawn to the romanticism of an ideal instead of the reality of it. Like you brought up the example of a doctor. I'm an engineer. What you imagine, or what I imagined an engineer would be doing, is nothing like what I'm actually doing now. And I think that's about, 99% of careers. You are drawn to the romance of it and not necessarily the reality of it.
Yeah, you like the idea of it, but you actually don't know the nuts and bolts of day-to-day, what that entails.
Oh, yeah. No idea.
Yeah.
Zero. I would not have called this engineering when I was back at university what I'm doing now.
So other than that, I also thought something else that appealed to me, about this building wealth and, being financially independent was just I was drawn to the feeling or the thought of pretty much having your bills paid for the rest of your life. That the thought of that kind of excited me.
Really?
Yeah. Because of the freedom that comes with that, like just the mental freedom that comes with that. Because there's no pressures on you. You can do what you like, So that was kind of a big, it probably sounds a bit silly, but that was kind of a big factor for me.
Yeah, fair
so
enough.
So it's essentially like a weekend that never ends. And then obviously you still want to be productive. So
yes,
you can then follow what you like, but not have to worry about money in a sense. So those were my reasons. So do you want to tell us about your reasons for venturing down this financial independence path, Pat?
Definitely. So I suppose from a very early age in my full-time career, I can't remember exactly when, like how far into it I was, but I sort of had this blurry concept of wanting to leave work early. And I didn't really define early, or I didn't really define how I would leave work early. But that vague, blurry concept in my mind caused me to start putting away money. And in the very first instance, I was putting away money in a savings account, and then I eventually got into share investing, but I suppose that's a different story.
And that's actually interesting. So it was like almost this instinct or urge that, well, you want to have the option not to work, so I need to save some of this money so you didn't even really consciously think about it. It was like an instinct or an urge.
Yeah, I'd say that. Like I said, I had no idea how the money was going to help me achieve this goal. I had no strict amount I needed to save, or what I had to do with it, or where I had to invest it. As soon as I started my full-time career, I started putting the money away. And then in the intervening years, I went on, big Europe holidays and all that sort of business that as a lot of young people in Australia do. But the money sort of kept building up, especially after those initial high spending holiday years. I don't know, when I was at work, I just got that overwhelming feeling. It's like, do I really want to be doing this for the next 40 years? Like coming to these offices 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Is this really what I want to be doing?
So did you start questioning things around you as well?
Yeah, definitely. So my first job out of uni was at a state government organization. And I started to see a lot of people there, and they were clearly just there for the paycheck. There was no question about it. They had lost all motivation. They were not involved. No drive or no passion to be there. Seeing that, I definitely didn't want to be in that position as well. It's very similar to the story you described last week when you first went to work.
So was there any other reasons?
Yeah, I suppose when I first started thinking about retiring early, there was no concept in my mind that that could be in my 30s. I thought retiring early was like something along the lines of 50 or 55. I was like, okay, if I keep putting away money now, then I won't have to do this till I'm 65. I eventually got pretty sick of that first job that I came out of uni into. And when I became really tired of it, I felt like I needed a change. And my first instinct was, okay, I just need a new job. I've had enough of this nonsense. I'm going to get out of this state government organization, go into a private organization, still doing engineering. Engineering construction is what I do. And I will see and work with a lot more people that are perhaps more motivated, more passionate about what they're doing. And I thought that I would be the same. I'd be happier in that environment. And to begin with, I certainly was. Like, it was, every new job is new and exciting, and you sort of get that initial excitement about working.
Because it's a novelty. It's a new, you know, it's a new job, new people, new role.
New role, you're learning new things.
New responsibilities.
Yeah, new environment.
So you thought, I think that's interesting, because I think in a strange way, many people assume that, well, if this person isn't satisfied with their work, you know, then a new job is the solution
for
that.
Yeah, that is.
But I'm not, you know, I'm not sure that's the right answer. I mean, it can definitely help, but I mean, I don't think that's the reason why, like, people like you and me have wanted to, you know, be in a position where we don't actually have to go to that job. I don't think the job is the problem. Maybe what that job demands of you might be part of the problem.
Well, I mean, interestingly enough, you know, after maybe 6 or 7 months in this new job, those initial feelings of just being over it came back, and I was like, oh God, am I feeling exactly the same? And in my industry, we do what I'll call free overtime. So especially...
I've heard of that before.
So yeah, engineering, you know, in construction, I just had to come in on Saturdays, and that was all part of my salary, you know, in inverted air quotes, I'm doing now. So I got no extra money. And one Saturday, I was just like, oh God, I don't want to be here. It's sunny outside. I want to be doing something else. I've already worked 5 days over 10 hours per day. Like, I just want to go to the beach or something. And so
that's funny. Yeah, go.
Sorry. So while I was sitting in the office kind of... you know, lamenting my days, I think that's the right word, I started to like search up, you know, early retirement or something. Or maybe I was like on Facebook and I saw a blog being advertised. I think it was Go Curry Cracker. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
And I started reading it and I'm like, oh wow, this is cool. And I kept reading it and I kind of went deep into that rabbit hole. And that's when I first learned about this whole fire thing.
It's funny you mentioned like looking outside at the beautiful weather or whatever. I remember having days like that too. You know, I worked in a refrigerated warehouse. And so the doors were closed, right? And so we had all the gear on, so we weren't exactly cold. Yeah. But when the doors open, because you'd have to go outside to do certain jobs, and then you come back in. Or you go out, you look outside, there's the door rolls up, and you're like, oh my God, it's like the best day out there ever, and I'm stuck in here. I just want to go to the park, or I just want to do something out there.
And that's when I got deep into this whole early retirement, and I sort of, in a moment, I was just like, oh, this is exactly what I've been looking for. All those sort of vague feelings about wanting to put money away and retire early, all concreted into this thought of financial independence and retiring early.
So you were pretty much sold straight away.
I was sold so quickly. It's not even funny. It was like almost instantly I was like, okay, I'm doing this.
And did you kind of have that weird feeling that this can't be real? You know, once you hear the first example of someone doing it in their 30s, you're like, no way. Is that real? I'm going to do that.
I can't remember now if I had those feelings. I don't think I did. I think as soon as I read it, I was completely drawn to it. I suppose I should have been more critical, but I wasn't. The rest is history, so to speak.
So those are some of the reasons why we personally were interested in financial independence. So now we'll cover a couple of other reasons that we've come across that other people have their own motivations and why it's important to them. So I think a big one is, you know, people, not me personally, but a lot of people are, you know, having children in their 30s and that. And I think it would be amazing for those people to be able to spend more time at home with their kids, you know, like it's a good example of Mr. Money Mustache doing that as well, you know, retiring at 30 and then having kids. So I think that concept or that idea of building up a good financial position first and then having kids and having this free time to spend with them, especially when they're young and before they're at school. I think that's a pretty amazing concept for young people to get excited about.
Yep. And that's definitely something that motivates me. I have a look at young parents at work, and they're just, they come in looking like zombies. It's like doing the whole wake up four times a night and then still coming to work the next day. That's
crazy.
That's crazy. That, I'm not drawn to that sort of lifestyle at all, because it just, I can barely get up and be motivated as it is and keep focused all day. And then to do it with completely broken sleep is ridiculous. I love my sleep. I love getting good sleep. And I
don't... Me too, mate. Actually, that's another reason. I mean, like at my job, I did day shift and night shift. And so we'd rotate, you know, week to week, and we did day shifts and night shifts. And it was a lot of body clock change around between what hours I was sleeping. Sometimes I'd be sleeping during the day, other times at night. And it was just, that really wears you down after a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you get compensated for it in terms of extra wages, but I mean, it really, you do kind of get sick of that lifestyle of changing your body clock all the time, and you're kind of permanently tired.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bit frustrating, yeah.
I think the wage uplift is about 25% to do shift work or something like that. And having done night shifts before, I can tell you it's 100% not worth it. Doing shift work is terrible. It's so hard on the body. I don't know how people do it, honestly.
Yeah. I decided that it was worth it, you know, because I was in a relatively not low paying industry, but you know, it was like forklift driver, storeman type work, so it wasn't like huge pay. So to me, like a 25% increase, you know, I was getting maybe, you know, an extra, I don't know, 15 grand a year or some 20 grand a year maybe, versus just doing regular 8-hour day shift.
Yep.
To me, that was a big difference, so I was pretty happy to do that. Especially since I figured that, especially when I went down this path of financial independence, that it wasn't going to be forever. Yeah. So I didn't have to think of, oh no, I have to do this, have to have this lifestyle of, you know, body clock change around all the time for the next 30 years. Not sure how I'd cope with that mentally.
You could take a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that leads into another point, which is the mental shift and the freedom in terms of mindset that financial independence gives you. I mean, if you have some light at the end of the tunnel, it can definitely help you see through some hard days at work when you don't want to be there. If you can see some light at the end of the tunnel, you're like, okay, it's not forever. That definitely helps, you know? So even if people want to, if they like their role, if they like their job, pursuing financial independence still makes sense.
Yeah.
Because once they're in that position, anytime that job is no longer fun, they're no longer enjoying it. They get a crappy boss like we talked about. Yep. The people there change, the culture changes. They've got that mentality that they don't have to be there. So every day that they go into that job is a choice. So they're able to live, you know, much more contently with that in the back of their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something very powerful about making the choice to go to work as opposed to needing to go to work. Like you said, it's making that choice can just really bring out where your values are and where your motivations are, because once it is a choice, you have to be doing it with all your heart. I mean, why would you choose to do it otherwise? And so that can help drive the whole psychological aspect of doing stuff throughout your days.
Exactly. So, and like pursuing this path is really, it's usually a combination of reasons. You know, it might be work reasons or family reasons, and maybe you want to spend more time on your health and stuff like that. So it's usually a combination of reasons. Another thing I thought of is, you know, we hear these stories of all the robots are coming to take our jobs, you know, so in 10, 20 years, nobody's going to have a job and we're going to be these little weaklings that are underneath these robot overlords. So, and all the jobs will be automated. So that's, I mean, pursuing financial independence is almost like the ultimate backup plan or the ultimate insurance plan against your job, whatever that job is, your job being automated in the future.
Yes.
So I think that makes sense too. Because the truth is, we really don't know what's going to happen, and a lot of jobs may be automated and they may not be replaced by new jobs, and you may not be able to or want to retrain to something else that's a relevant job at the time. So building savings and and wealth before that happens is definitely a sensible idea.
Yeah, and in a way, that's just a very specific example of a more general benefit, and that is things happen. Your job may be available now, or might not be available in the future. Your health, you might have your health now to be able to do that job. You might not have it in the future. And this whole other list of things that can go wrong that prevents you from pulling a regular paycheck. Financial independence makes you far more resilient to those shocks. Very contemporary example is the coronavirus, and a lot of people have unfortunately lost their source of income now, and they've still definitely got plenty of outgoings, and that's, yeah, not a very comfortable position to be in when you've got bills to pay and you don't have an income anymore. And of course, even if you were not financially independent, but you had been saving money for a few years in pursuit of that, you'd be in a far more comfortable position if, for whatever reason, global pandemic, for example, as ridiculous as that would have sounded a year ago, here we are. I mean, it would have made a lot of people a lot more comfortable, even having just a few thousand or a few tens of thousands sitting in the wind waiting for them to pull upon when they needed it.
So whatever the situation, the person with savings is far better equipped than the person without savings. And the person with lower ongoing, you know, lifestyle costs is in a much safer position, yes, than those with higher 100%. Costs.
This brings something that Dave and I were speaking about before we hit record on the podcast. It's like you're starting to see all of these sort of news articles. It's like, oh, fire, those pursuing fire now panicking because of the market downturn or because of the pandemic. That's just the most ridiculous backward thought to have. It's like those who have been pursuing financial independence have a lot more resilience to withstand the shocks of a global pandemic or a market downturn or whatever, a global recession, than someone who hasn't been. They've got money sitting or assets sitting on the sidelines. So when they lose their job or when their income drops or whatever happens, they are able to respond to those in a position of strength and comfort, as opposed to someone who has a very high cost of living, who's living paycheck to paycheck. They have no savings. These are the people who are in actual trouble compared to those who are pursuing early retirement.
You can't put the fire people in the same bucket as everyone else, you know? I mean, in terms of how they're affected by something like this, you know? One's fair enough if the fire person has lost their job and so has the regular person. Yeah. One's got no savings, one's got plenty of savings. They're not, those things aren't equal.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the early retirees are panicking. It's like, no, wait a minute. Someone, let's say they're retired at 35 with, you know, $1 million and the market crashes by 50%. It's like, oh no, the 35-year-old has $500,000. Poor 35-year-old. It's like...
Compared to most 35-year-olds who have $10,000 or something like that.
Well, exactly.
Like that,
it's, you know, not really an argument against financial independence, and it's an argument for financial independence. Like, even after a 50% market drop and worldwide recession, you're still far better off having assets and money saved up than you aren't.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we can probably get into that another day in terms of how you would cope with, like as a retiree, how you would cope with a downturn and how FIRE helps you in those scary times. So we can really get into that another time.
Definitely.
Because that'll be an episode in itself.
Yes.
So in terms of plans after financial independence, what are your plans, Pat, in terms of the future? Because you're going down this path for a reason. So do you have, you've obviously got something in mind of what you want to do with your time. So can we hear about that?
Yeah, absolutely. My partner Steph, we do actually, I mean, despite all the headlines that I got about 2 years ago, we actually do want to buy a property, just not in Sydney. That was massively spun into a pretzel by the headline writers. But
they wouldn't do that, would they?
No. They only ever put completely factual headline titles, headlines on their news posts all the time. And yeah, I would like to buy a place with Steph. We want to get a place near the beach. I want to do a lot more bike riding. I do want to get into some kayaking.
So are you planning to move in towards the country, New South Wales, or like up the coast a bit? Or do you have a plan there?
Down the Illawarra. So my partner is originally from the Illawarra, and that's where her family is, that's where her friends are. And I think, for whatever reason, I think that would be better to, you know, move near family and friends, and especially her family and friends. And my parents are only in Elwood, which is sort of inner south, inner west of Sydney. And so that would only put me about an hour to an hour and a half away from my parents as well. Living in a position where you can actually go see your family, go see your friends on a regular basis, as opposed to right now where we're both sort of living based on where we need to work. I mean, that was our number one consideration. It's like, oh, look, this is where we're working, so this is where we have to live, because we have to travel to work every single day. There's just no flexibility there.
So I was just going to say, and that brings up a good point, because pretty much all of us, we build our lives around our work, whereas if you become financially independent, you can build work around your life. So that your life is the focus, but you can fit your work around that, whatever work you choose to do, rather than the other way around.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And you're not just chasing the highest income. Mm. So you really can just build work into the life you otherwise want to live. So I want to travel more, do more exercise, live a simple life. I am getting into carpentry. I'm getting into bike riding. I said a bit about kayaking, learning instruments, starting a family, all that sort of business. And then maybe down the road I'll start some work, but I don't have any firm plans on that right now.
That sounds busy enough, don't you reckon?
I mean, just having a kid, like, surely that would be busy enough, right?
Yeah, that's a job in itself.
Yeah. That's two full-time jobs taken care of for at least 5 years. But yeah, and there's also more interesting travel options that I wouldn't mind getting into. So as an engineer, I've always looked into Engineers Without Borders, which is an organization that's similar to the much more well-known Doctors Without Borders, or Médecins Sans Frontières. And they just go to disadvantaged communities and help them with certain engineering tasks. And that, I won't say hasn't been an option for me, but when you do sign up for something like that, you accept that you're not going to earn a full-time income for 6, 9, 12 months. And you will be paid a living wage, what they call a living wage in the country you go to. But that's in their local currency, using how much it costs for there. So it's not a wage which you can build a life for yourself and save for back in Australia. It's a sustenance wage in that local environment. And so that has been something that I haven't pursued up until now, because I'm not willing to take the financial hit to do that. If finance doesn't become an option, if finance doesn't become a factor that's stopping me from doing that, then that's something I can actually look seriously into.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. And there's all these other things that I've been looking at online that are along the same lines. Camp USA, but I don't know, I might be getting a bit old to be doing that.
What's that? I haven't heard of it.
You haven't?
No.
So the Americas, the United States and Canada in particular, they send their school kids to summer camps for several weeks or months at a time. And these summer camps need people to run them. And part of that is getting a lot of people from overseas. I think it's to encourage cultural diversity and getting the children to interact with people of lots of different cultures. And you help run those camps for those children.
Okay.
And there's lots of sporting events and a lot of things. So you need certain skill sets to be able to do that. But again, that's not really something I've considered seriously, because I don't want to take the financial hit to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something I may consider in the future.
And that's a good point, because like, finances do matter in the short term, but in the longer term, when those things become much more attractive and much more of an option, because you don't have to really think about, you know, having your bills paid and that, because you've already got that covered. So you're able to do stuff like that where the money might be zero, or, you know, it might even cost you money to go to these places and do it, but it's going to be worthwhile from a satisfaction point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And that's why I'm doing this. That's why I wake up, go to work every day, save 70-ish% of my paycheck.
Yeah. Well, we can get into how you get such a high savings rate in another episode. I think that would be good. We can talk about savings rates and
Yeah.
How people can boost their savings rate and stuff like that, little optimizations and all that. So there's tons of stuff we can get into in the future.
But enough of my hopes and dreams, why don't you? Why don't we talk a bit more about what FIRE is like for you, Dave? And I don't know, is it what you expected? Is it what you were thinking of when you were saving up and socking away all your money? Or is it completely different?
Is it what I expected? I can't really answer that question because, to be honest, I didn't think much past the goal of getting there. I was one of those people who just thought about the goal, and then once I get there, everything will be great, and I don't know, I'll just ride off into the sunset or relax on a beach forever, you know? I really didn't think that much past the goal of getting there, which I should have, but I only really thought about it towards the end. Like, holy crap, I'm actually going to do this soon. I better start thinking about what I'm going to do. You know? I just thought of all this free time and how amazing that would be.
Yeah.
But in terms of
I'm a victim of that too sometimes.
Yeah. Once you get, I recommend to people, once you start getting close, like really think about it, because it's going to come quicker than you expect when you're towards the end, you know, and then you're left with all this free time and you really need having some structure and having some plans in place of the things you might like to do is really important. Otherwise, I've seen stories of people like they reach financial independence, they quit their job, but then they get a bit lost, or they get a bit bored, or they get a bit just stuck in a rut of not doing much because they never really thought much about what they do afterwards. So I've seen stories about that. And that's really more so down to a lack of planning, I think, and a lack of like imagination about what they're going to do. So for us, the abundant free time was really the driver, and it's really the thing that I enjoy most. So I like living a pretty laid back, pretty simple lifestyle. So I don't like to be too busy. Don't like to work on too many things at once. So we like spending time, like obviously with my partner and our dog. We go for lots of walks and bike rides. We live across from like a big regional park, so it's got like nice huge open green area and lake and wetlands and stuff, so we go spend a lot of time there, you know, walks and bike rides. Then we do other stuff like reading, exercising, we catch up with friends when they have days off. I'm lucky to have a couple of friends that actually do, or one has his own business and the other one does shift work I used to work with. So, oh, nice. You know, a couple of people that you can catch up with during the week rather than Monday to Friday type situation.
Hey, what does that friend who you used to work with think of your situation? Like, do they know that you're...
Yeah, I was pretty open towards the end about what was going on, because especially when you say you're leaving work and then when you put your resignation in, people are like, what? What's going on? What are you doing?
Where are you going?
I didn't lie about it. I wasn't trying to be sick. I didn't broadcast it along the journey, but towards the end, people started asking. I think word kind of got around, and I would tell them the truth. And I think some of them were like, you'll be back. You'll be back. Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't think so.
Do you think so now?
I think some of them didn't believe me, but the people that I talked to the most, they kind of got it, because I'd explain it to them and I'd encourage them to kind of think about it too. And couple of them have started for a few years now, like building up their savings and stuff like that. So it's good to see some kind of positive impact from what you've been able to tell someone.
Yeah, good on you.
So other than that, my partner actually works part-time in her job that she had before we, you know, retired early. So she's actually gone back to work 2 days a week. And it's just a government admin role that's not too far away from us. So she quite enjoys that, I think, more for the socializing than anything else, because she's more of a social person than me. So she really likes to get in and, you know, chat to people and stuff. Yeah. And she likes gardening as well. So she spends quite a bit of time out in the garden here. We have we live in a rental property, but she's got like veggie patches and big like fruit trees in big pots and stuff like that. So she likes pottering around doing that sort of stuff. And I've got the blog, obviously, which actually takes me quite a while. I'm not sure if that's normal or I'm a slow writer or what, but it actually takes me quite a long time.
Yeah, very time consuming.
It is, man. Like, it might take people, I don't know, 15 minutes to read a post, but it probably takes me, I don't know, like 10 hours or something to piece it together, sometimes longer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sometimes very long time. So that's that kind of works out to be a part-time equivalent job, I guess, you know, because I like to answer people's comments and emails and stuff too, so I spend a bit of time doing that.
Yeah, and you're very consistent. Like, you get a post out every week, single week on Saturday.
Saturday.
Okay. I don't see the email until Sunday. Mm. Whatever.
You must be busy Saturdays.
Yeah, I don't know.
And obviously now I've got the podcast too, so that's probably going to take up a bit more of my time, which that's okay.
Yeah, that's it. You've got a full-time job now.
Yeah, I guess so. Also, we started volunteering locally there's a local volunteer group that kind of, they look after the local regional park, like planting trees and clearing rubbish and stuff like that. So we've been volunteering there recently. So that's kind of, that's pretty enjoyable. And also we have, because it's a lake, there's quite a decent population of like local turtles, like long-necked turtles here. And certain times of year they come out of the water and they come like across the road to lay their eggs, because that's what they kind of walk a long way to go and lay. That's what they do. So unfortunately they come across the road. So when I noticed there was heaps of them kind of coming, I like spent a few days like helping them across the road and that, you know, making sure they don't get run over and stuff. So a few of them even laid eggs in our garden too, which is pretty cool, and they actually should be hatching soon.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty fun. So I do that when I see some turtles. But overall, it's just, I don't know, it's just a pretty nice balance of how we live, you know. We like to be like to live pretty healthy type lifestyle, but also be kind of productive, have plenty of downtime, and just have a low stress, enjoyable lifestyle, really.
Yeah. And do you get into any more fitness now? Like, have you found that you're spending more time? Tell us about that, because obviously you're no longer working full time, you're no longer doing shift work. And one of the huge motivations for myself is, instead of trying to squeeze fitness into these gaps in my life, I can kind of be more committed to it and more on a regular schedule. Because right now, that's what I do. I just squeeze it into the gaps. Before coronavirus, I was actually getting up at 4 o'clock every morning to go, a few times a week to go to the gym, because I just couldn't do it any other way.
Wow, that's committed, 4 a.m., wow.
Oh, it was very tough.
Jesus. Yeah, so we do spend more time exercising than before. So like I said, like we go for a walk pretty much every morning. You know, we have coffee, take the dog for a walk. So that's nice. We go for a bike ride pretty much every evening. And then we also do like weights or body weight exercises for, you know, half an hour, nearly every day. So definitely try and be more active, you know, and try and spend more time not sitting down and not doing, you know, time wasting stuff. So it's definitely been a conscious effort that we dedicate more time towards our health, which was important too. And you get more time just to kind of, even if it's just, you got more time to make healthy food. You know, you don't have to settle for whatever's fast, you know, to save time. You have time to make a salad or stuff like that, you know. So it's just little things like that are nice, just to have that extra time to dedicate towards things.
Yeah. And exactly how long, sorry if you've said it already, but how long have you been retired?
I did say it, Pat. You weren't listening. I said it last week.
Oh, last week.
about 3 years now. So it's about three years. Yeah.
Has the motivation worn off at all? Are you still, do you still like get up in the morning on Monday morning and think, yes, so I don't have to go to work?
Yeah. So I get up about, you know, 11:30 a.m. and then, nah.
No, you don't.
Nah, I get up kind of early, get up at like 6:30, have a coffee and then go for a nice walk. But yeah, I'm definitely motivated I'm more motivated now to get up in the morning, and especially like to get up early to start the day versus before. Whereas before I was like, the alarm's going off, I just want to turn it off, go back to bed. But now it's like, it's enjoyable to get up every day. And I actually, I guess I wasn't a morning person before because I was always tired because of the shift work and that, but now I am. I really like.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I like getting up early now, so it's good. Excited to start the day.
So even after 3 years, this whole early retirement thing is still, you're still happy with it. It's not like, oh, I'm bored, I want to find more, I want to go back to full-time work or something, or.
Nah, definitely not. I mean, the stuff we got kind of keeps us busy, and I don't find myself lacking any sort of stimulation, you know.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, no desire to quit retirement anytime soon.
Ah, excellent. Quit retirement.
What else would you call it? I don't know how you would describe it.
I don't know.
that pretty much all we've got for today? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we covered everything we wanted to cover.
Covered everything in the Why of Fire?
Not everything, but...
Well, yeah, like we said, everyone will have their own reasons as well. So there'll be plenty other things that we haven't covered that, you know, you'll have your own personal reasons for why you want to be financially independent, so...
Yeah, okay. Do you want to do the wrap or...
All right, I'll do the wrap. All right, that's it for today, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of Fire and Chill and spending some time with us. We've got another topic on the way, so stay tuned for that one. If you enjoyed the show, hit subscribe or leave a review. And if you've got any feedback, if you've got any topic suggestions, or if you've got questions you want us to answer on the show, you can email us. Just send that to fireandchillpod@gmail.com. The show notes and any info related to this podcast you can find at our blogs, strongmoneyaustralia.com and lifelongshuffle.com. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon, guys.